Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
We've been working our way around this circle that our spiritual life team has prepared for us as a model of discipleship for us as a body. And we've spent these last weeks working through this wheel that will appear briefly after I tell you that if you're a person that does the social media thing, YouVersion, there's an app that's available that has some stuff about today's service on it. If you're a Facebook person or a Twitter person, I'm not a Twitter person. I've never even really tried it. It just seems kind of, I don't know. But if you are, great. Maybe I'll join just so I can follow you and your tweets. But Facebook, whatever. Tell folks that you're here and tell folks that we got to baptize a baby today and tell folks that we got to take an offering today and tell folks this is just a great day. Anyway. So we've got this wheel, this model that our spiritual life team has prepared for us, and we've been working our way around it. We started with talking about knowing God, and then Mike talked to us about the Bible, the story of God, and doctrine, the things that we believe, along with Christians everywhere, the things that we believe, and then how the things that we believe inform us and keep us steady in life issues, and how the things that we believe, when we know God, when we know His story, when we go through life issues, how He forms our identity, not in ourselves, but in Christ, and how we as church, the body of Christ, with believers everywhere, get to participate in Christian community. And it brings us to our last point in the wheel, our last spoke. Today we're going to talk about mission. And mission is the word that propels us out of the circle, and it's the word that brings us back to the circle. Without mission, without understanding that there's something to be done, the circle is self-serving and incomplete. There's just this thing that we have to understand, that being a Christian, following Jesus, is a doing thing. It is not a passive exercise. James, the brother of Christ, wrote in his letter, "Faith without works is dead." The Apostle Paul said, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do." Jesus Himself talked a lot about doing, but the most simple part was when He said, "Do for others what you would have them do for you." When I was younger, I wanted to twist that around, to don't do anything to someone that you wouldn't want them to do to you. But then I grew up and I read it. Jesus said it's a do thing. We do for others. Which brings us back, then, to the verse that has carried us all the way around this circle. "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for ministry, for building up of the body of Christ." I don't know if you got up this morning feeling like a saint, but you are. We have, because of our church tradition and human tradition, we have come to think of saints as something that goes in a stained glass window. Somebody that lived a long time ago, and because they lived a long time ago, they were perfect. Equip the saints. You sang this morning, all the saints join in singing creation songs. We are saints. And when we experience God's transformation, there's the sense that as followers of Jesus, something should be done about it. There's an active response that is appropriate to our rescue. Our doctrine, we talked about doctrine. Our doctrine holds that we cannot earn our salvation. That it's a gift of grace freely given by God the Father in the life and sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus. Jesus paid the debt for our sin in full. We can't start to pay it back. So the question is, what will we do with our freedom? If Jesus' death and resurrection, our belief in Him, His application of His blood to us to make us righteous, if that makes us free, what do we do with our freedom? Do we return to our sinful selfishness with a veneer of grace? I got Jesus, I got me, I'm good, right? Or do we come to church and act nice and be quiet and just come to church? Or do we actually obey the sending words of Jesus and join Him in His mission of redemption? Obviously, the answer is the last. That we're not saved, we're not redeemed in order to just continue as we were. And we're not redeemed to just come here and sit here and act like everything's cool. We are redeemed to obey the sending words of Jesus. I have a neighbor who has a beautiful 54 Pontiac Catalina hardtop. It's gorgeous. And several years ago, he had it restored to perfection. I mean, showroom perfection. This thing is awesome. And it's completely useless. It is. He told me, it's too nice to drive. So this is what happens. About once every 2 weeks, he backs the car out of the garage. He washes the car. He pushes the car in the garage. Is that what that thing's for? I mean, this car, this body style, you have to know, represents the first new design after World War II. The designers, the engineers, had been building tanks and jeeps and airplanes. All the factories were commandeered for war material, and they didn't get to build cars. And when finally the war was over and they got their action back together, they said, "We are going to make something awesome." So when those designers put that thing together, I'm sure they weren't thinking about a 2-ton paperweight. And I'm sure when it came down the assembly line in Fairfax, Kansas, yeah, I did that research, when it came down the assembly line in Fairfax, Kansas, those people that were putting it together weren't saying, "Boy, maybe this will be in a museum today." No. They were thinking, "This beast is made to comfortably glide down the road with style and proclaim that America is on the move and we are as cool and as forward-thinking and as purposeful as this fine hunk of automobile." What's that got to do with us? God's redemption and the change He brings in us is not for the sake of making the church into a museum of holy but completely useless wax figures. Because that would be creepy. Imagine that we all just stayed here looking at each other. We are not stained glass window saints. I think that's the best thing I have to say today. We are not stained glass window saints. We're the kind of saints that God is equipping for the work of ministry, for the work of building up the body of Christ. And this word that's on our circle, mission, comes from the Latin missio, which means to send. And God's mission of reconciling Himself to the world is a mission of sending. He sent Jesus, and in the words of Will Willimon, who I got to listen to this week, He sent Jesus to live briefly and to die violently and to rise unexpectedly so that we could be reconciled to God and everything would be right between us and Him. And as you read the story, the Bible, the story of God, as you read the story of God, you realize that He's ascending God. The Bible is a book full of journeys, some long and some short, but it seems like every time He speaks to someone, they have to go somewhere. And it didn't take long for Jesus to send His disciples on a mission. The whole of chapter 10 of Matthew reads like a scene from a movie. You know that word, mission. You've seen those movies where either one guy or a group of guys come before a commander and he says, okay guys, this is what we're going to do. It's going to be dangerous and you might not come back and all those things. And he gives this speech. Matthew chapter 10 is a speech like that when Jesus is sending out these guys. And I would really encourage you to read all of Matthew 10 because it's pretty awesome. But I'm just going to bring out some highlights. This is the short version. This is starting at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then skipping to verse 5, these men Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, and as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And then, like I said, he goes on through the rest of chapter 10 to give all these instructions about what they're to expect and what they're to do. But I imagine myself as a disciple. And I don't think I would have heard any of the rest of chapter 10 because I'd be standing there going, did he say raise the dead? Did he say cure leprosy? And you can read chapter 10 and you just get the feeling that at the end of the chapter, Jesus looked at the guys and goes, ready, break. And they went. And they raised the dead. And they healed people of leprosy, and everywhere they went, they said, the kingdom of God has come near. God is ascending God. The whole of Jesus' story can be summed up in the word mission. The project of chapter 10, other than the raising the dead part, the whole of chapter 10 seems pretty limited in scope. I mean, he said, don't go to the Gentiles and don't go to the Samaritans. Stay among the people you know. We'll keep this familiar for you guys. And we can be good with that. But after the resurrection, Jesus removed all the borders. And Jesus blew away all the boundaries. And he looked those same people in the eye and more of them. He looked them in the eye after the resurrection and gave them a mission of global scope and eternal consequence. Look at this in Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. That one always gets me. Okay, resurrection, seen Jesus a bunch of times, here we are on the hillside, but some doubted. That probably would have been me because I would have been still thinking about raising the dead. Like, how is this supposed to happen, right? So anyway, some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that rabble of fishermen and tax collectors and revolutionaries, those guys did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They waited in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit was sent to them, and then they went out and did it. I know they told someone that righteousness before God was made possible through the blood of Jesus. I know it because I read it in the book of Acts, but I know it because they told someone that, and then they told someone, and then they told someone, and that person told someone else, and that person told someone else, and that person told someone else, and somebody told me. That's how I know those guys did it. That for all of us who are believers in Jesus, we can trace a line, an unbroken line, from us to those guys on the hillside. Because somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. To be a follower of Jesus means we understand that we will be sent, that we'll be part of the mission of God to reconcile Himself to the world. Jesus was sent by God. Jesus sent the disciples, and the Spirit of Christ working in His saints, not the stained glass window saints, these saints, the Spirit of God working in the saints will send the saints. We have to expect it. The good news is we're not on our own. Go raise the dead. In addition to the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we collectively, with all the believers past and present around the world, are part of this church that Jesus promised He would build. We are the body of Christ. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And where God sends us, He sends us. And we are all partners in this ministry of reconciliation. Here's what I'm getting at, and it's scary and it's heady, and there's part of us that might want to deny it because it seems so big, but it's this. Just as Jesus is the incarnation of God, God in flesh, literally God in flesh, the church is the incarnation of Jesus in the world. We are. Jesus in flesh in the world now. And when things go bad, a shooting at a high school, when things go bad, an accident in a factory or an illness in an innocent child, when things go bad and people ask, where is God? I know where He is. He's here. And we're out there. So this is the mission, to be the hands and feet of Christ. The mission is to love our enemies and bless those who persecute us. The mission is to tell the people the good news of Jesus using words if necessary, as Francis of Assisi said. And to listen to the Holy Spirit when He says go, whether He says go across the hall or across the street or to the Dominican Republic, or around the world. It's go. We're the body of Christ. We're the incarnation of Jesus here on earth, here in Flushing, in this cornfield on Pearson Road. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the incarnation of Christ here. And I only know a few of your stories about how you are in step with ascending God in this mission of redemption. Some of you go to the ECC day to love on kids who don't get love at home. Some of you put on a uniform to serve and protect. Some of you pray every day for someone who doesn't know Jesus. Some of you bring healing, and some of you bring meals, and some of you bring smiles. And I think by and large, we're a church that gets it. We're a church that understands mission. But we're equipping ourselves, working through the circle. We're equipping ourselves to be even better at it. See, mission is universal and mission is unique. We're much the same. We're all people. There are things about us that are the same. And there are things about us that are unique. My calling, my obedience, my call to obedience is the same as yours. Follow Jesus. But my calling and my obedience is much different than yours, and yours is different than the person sitting next to you, because it's contextualized in my relationships. You can't love my kids like I can love my kids. It's contextualized in my weaknesses and my strengths and my influence. And our calling and mission as a church is the same as every other church. This is off the notes. There was this thing back in the day, about 20 years ago, when churches were called to really concentrate on their mission statements. And the pastor that I happened to be working for at the time was a real proponent of this, and it drove me nuts. I would go with him to different churches to do this presentation. We would gather the leadership of the church to talk about the mission statement and how that church was going to craft their mission statement. And I'm like, hey, what if we just read the Bible and make disciples, love God, love people? I mean, but I would sit with these people for hours in this thing and help them work through. And I know the value was the process, but it drove me crazy. So, anyway, we're a church that gets it. And our calling and our mission is the same, but our context is different. Our influence is different. There are people in 48433 that will find new life in Jesus at the United Methodist Church, and I say thanks be to God. And there will be people that find Jesus at the Flushing Bible Church, and I say thanks be to God. And St. Robert and Cornerstone and New Life Assembly, and to all this we say thanks be to God. But there are some people who are not here today who will find new life in Jesus among us. Context, relationships, strengths, weaknesses, influence. It'll happen here. And just as you have a life that is unique to mine in terms of strength and weakness, there are people being called by God's heart through His grace that will find Him here because of you, because of us, because we are a unique slice of the incarnation of Jesus in the world. And I say thanks be to God. So I want to return to the automotive imagery for just another moment, because I can't help myself, right? Think about this. If the body of Christ were a fleet of vehicles, and God looked over His huge parking lot of the fleet of vehicles, when He came to the parking spot that said Flushing Community Church, what would He find? Ideally, He would find that we weren't there because we were out doing something else. But what would He expect to be parked in that spot? This is how I imagine us. I'd like to think that we are the kingdom equivalent of a four-wheel drive crew cab pickup truck. Not new. The kind of truck that can take a shopping cart ding and nobody gets uptight. That kind of truck. We're a crew cab because even when we're full, there's room for more. And if we can't fit them in the cab, we'll just put them in the back because it's a short drive, right? Don't tell the cops. We're the truck that starts every time. We're the truck that never gets stuck. We're the truck that pulls others out of the ditch. Nobody calls their friend on moving day and asks if they can borrow their Mercedes. We're the people that not only load our truck, but we help load it. That's kind of what I see us as. That's what I hope we are, that we are functional and good in our community. Not so that people will think we're cool, so people will think we have a nice truck, for crying out loud. No, so that people will come, join us, and find new life in Christ here. We're getting real close to finishing a great building project. And I can't wait till it gets dings in it. Seriously. It's not a shrine. It's a building. Everybody on the building committee just went, oh no. He's already praying for us to get dings in it. But listen. Do you think we built it for your kids? Or for you? Did we do this so our kids could have a good church experience? Or so that our teenagers would have a nice place to come for youth group? Did we do it so that we would have a nice room to have a meeting in or a cup of coffee? I hope we did. But more than that, I hope we didn't. I hope that our building, the one we're sitting in now and the one we'll use in the coming months, is not just for us, but for our neighbors. And for the friends that our kids are making who don't know anything about Jesus. For the guy at work who seems to be in constant chaos because he can't make a good decision to save his life. I hope the building's for him. I hope the building is for the friend you have who believes God has abandoned them. And whomever God brings us because He sent us. So we're going to go. Because God is ascending God. We're going to go from here, and we're going to share the love of God, and we're going to expect that the Holy Spirit does something inside of us to let us know when we should go, who we should speak to, and how it should be, so that, see, I told you I was going to get confused today, so that people will come to know Jesus. Because that, friends, is the mission. That is the mission.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.